Final hour is upon us. I was jarred. I didn't know what the hell happened. I was ready for the subtle tones of Jonathan Schaefer, and then I remembered that Joe Hunk is taking us through the noon hour for the next 3 days. Lucas Panzeca is obviously not here. I hope he's drunk on a beach somewhere. But Joe Hunk has been kind enough to come in a bit early before his duties on 3HL begin and make sure that we keep this thing on track. What's up, Hunk?
How's it going, man?
It's going okay. You scared me because I can't see anything through all of this crap that's in front of me. So I don't know who's behind there at any given point.
Yeah, I kind of throw a different tone in whenever I go into that top of the hour. I'm a little bit more in your face.
There's a slight difference in the rasp. But yeah. We're happy to have Joe Hunk here. We're happy to have you here up until 1 o'clock when Blaine and Mickey take over. If you want to get involved with the conversation, the number is simple. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045. We are going to have Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys join us for his weekly segment coming up next. But Eldon English immediately writes in the chat on Zone TV. If you want to hang out with us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live, and Periscope, you can do so. Eldon writes in, Lucas had to have a break from Buck after dealing with his birthday. Mark Mabry says, lost a Schaefer, gained a Hunk. Indeed, we did. So we will keep the proceedings rolling. Happy for all of the great Zone production staff that's making sure that, you know, that I'm tolerable, at least to some extent. Schaefer could only do two, so Hunk gets one.
Yeah, I'll let you know after the rest of the week, because this is my first time dealing with you, so just letting you know.
Godspeed, buddy. It's not for everybody.
We're all in this together, man. I just buckled up and just roll.
That's what they keep telling me. So, before we are joined by our good buddy Will Compton, we are going to do a bit of a preview. So, we have a new podcast here on the Zone Podcast Network, where Joe Hunk also does a podcast, The Strike Zone, every Friday. I do believe.
Thursday. You were closer than what Slay was. Slay said it was on Sunday, so we're getting closer.
Well, I don't feel bad then, because Slay works with you every day, and he should know that better than me.
Absolutely. Thursday's at 9 o'clock.
But it airs in the podcast feed on Friday. Am I incorrect about that?
That is actually correct. Hey, absolutely.
Look at that. I pay attention to my email.
Exactly. We post it on Fridays.
Yeah, okay. So I'm taking that one as a win. So you can get Hunk's podcast Thursday nights live at 9 p.m. after my A to Z Sports primetime show at 8 p.m. Then you can catch the audio version on Fridays in your Zone podcast feed. My podcast for the Zone podcast feed, because I'm not doing enough across every microphone that I'm talking into, is The Install with Greg Cosell of NFL Films. We will record the newest episode right after the radio show concludes, and that will be in your podcast feed at 4 p.m. So subscribe, rate, and review to every podcast in the Zone Podcast Network, where you can get all manner of great content 5 days a week from all of the great staff that works around here on 104.5 The Zone, and of course Greg Cosell. So Cosell and I are going to talk in greater detail today about four subjects in particular, two of which I would like to talk about right now, because they're the Tennessee Titans will not report to training camp until July 27th, next Tuesday. Now, it's my understanding that there will be a fair amount of people in the building, as Ron Slay says, on Saturday as they begin to filter back in and we get full, you know, just a full frontal of football season, because SEC Media Days is just a bit of foreplay as we get closer to the SEC and the NFL being back in our lives, thank God. But there are three teams, the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are already back in camp. They have reported to camp, and they are full go into this thing. The Bucs yesterday were at the White House. This, Hunk, if I made you guess a number on how many presidential administrations Tom Brady has been at the White House for to receive accolades for winning the Super Bowl, how many would you guess?
I would say probably four.
Four is the number.
No, look at that.
Ding, ding, ding. Four presidential administrations Tom Brady has made White House visits. That is obscene. But he said yesterday, because he did some media yesterday, he did a special town hall with Jim Gray, who is his go-to guy for all things, it would seem. Did a sit down with Jim Gray in which he talked about playing at least two more years. That would make Tom Brady 46 if he was to retire after two more years of playing professional football. Then you have Aaron Rodgers, who is an outlier in all of this. We put it on a poll. In fact, Hunk will be tasked this week with updating the polls at the end of the show. I hope you're prepared.
I am totally prepared and ready to go.
We love to see it. So, we put it to a poll at Buck Rising on Twitter. That's where you can vote on them. Hunk, what's your Twitter handle?
At Joe Hunk.
Easy enough. So, follow Hunk there. At Buck Rising on Twitter is where you can vote on all of the many polls that we produce. We put this one out there. Which quarterback plays for more years in the NFL? Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? Tom's substantially older than Aaron. Aaron's still in his 30s. Tom at the ripe old age of 44, though you would never guess by looking at his forehead. Shout out Botox. 78% of the audience right now, as we sit here today, says that Tom Brady is going to play longer than Aaron Rodgers.
So they mean this season.
Yeah, right? Because Aaron Rodgers, the reporting on this, and we did 3 hours of, and Mark Mabry says, here we go, what's Aaron's favorite color, jock? Listen, Aaron Rodgers is one of the biggest stars in all of the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, if he ends up in your conference, if he ends up traded to the AFC, you are going to hate how much I talk about Aaron Rodgers. Because if you see him or Patrick Mahomes, say Rodgers goes to the Broncos. Say you have an Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes wild card team that the Titans have to host. Can you imagine, Mark? So shut up and sit down and listen to me talk about Aaron Rodgers. Them's the breaks. Aaron Rodgers declined a 2-year contract extension to make him the highest paid player at the position. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Aaron Rodgers said no to because he is that much at odds with the Green Bay Packers organization. I don't know what to expect from this coming season, from any of these teams who are reporting to camp. Be it Dak Prescott, who we'll see off a broken ankle, be it the broken and mangled body of Ben Roethlisberger, who while Tom Brady, you know, continues to eat avocado ice cream and drink avocado tequila in times that he wants to imbibe, has a body where it sounds, where you talk to defensive players, and if you want to get involved, 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737 is how you get involved. You talk about Tom Brady and how long he's lasted and how much better he's taken care of his body than somebody like Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger, who has a body that feels like a trash bag full of broken glass. So he is reporting to camp today or this week. Ben Roethlisberger, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers is out there. This is what Cosell and I are going to get into today, because we're obviously, if Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay, they are immediately contenders. Back-to-back NFC title games. Now, he's won as many as Tom Brady has won after spending a year in Aaron Rodgers' own conference. Tough scene. You have the defending champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are running the entire thing back through voidable years in their contracts, somehow found a way to put the entirety of the thing back together. Dak Prescott is going to have incredible expectations placed on him this year for all of the money. He's coming off a snapped ankle and got $40 million average annual salary. And if I'm Lamar Jackson, who's getting ready to negotiate a contract himself, I'm looking at that and saying, why can't I be the highest paid quarterback when I've produced as much as almost all of these guys who we're discussing? Even though Roethlisberger's won 2, Brady has 7. Rodgers won in a championship game appearance. Dak Prescott, precious little, $40 million. Where do these guys stack up heading into the NFL season? We've had this conversation about Ryan Tannehill before. We've talked about him being in the top 10 or not being in the top 10, according to ESPN's lists that they continue to produce. Thankfully, the list season is done now that training camp is on our doorstep. Where these guys end up falling and where they actually end up producing, the expectations placed on all four of these franchises, we're talking about them because their seasons, in effect, begin this week, is a fascination to me. Because if Brady can continue to look at this good at 46, and the doctor who's not a doctor that, you know, was one of the reasons why there's a rift between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Alex Guerrero, Brady's personal confidant, the purveyor of the avocado ice cream, and God knows what else. If Guerrero is going out there publicly saying he fully expects Tom to play 2 more years, what Where does the discussion of Tom Brady change? Where do we see the powers fail him? Because the reporting is that he played all of last year on a partially torn MCL.
It's when his body breaks down and parts start to break and he can't play, and that happened last year.
Yeah, that's what happened last year. Super Bowl, 11-5, more passing yards than Ryan Tannehill. What? 615-737-1045. Let's go to Darrington, who wants to weigh in on Aaron Rodgers. What's up, Darrington?
What's happening, Blue Tech, bud?
How we living, buddy?
Oh, man, we living the dream. Bad enough that he's weak. Good God. Anyway, so you want to make a comparison. How about this? Tom Brady to Adam Vinatieri. That's longevity for you. When I hear Tom Brady talk, I don't see nothing about no future after football. Aaron Rodgers, Jeopardy, he has his new ecological wife, if you want to call it, that he's got to marry.
So friend of planet Earth.
I just see football is all he knows. Yeah. He kind of reminds me of Jordan. When at the basketball, that was it. I mean, you have, he owns the Bobcats, but really, what if? So I probably compare him to.
Darrington, your phone line's not great today, but I understand your point. Brady doesn't have a life after football. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. So I was reading a Boston Herald article this morning because Brady, you know, anytime Brady speaks or does anything or, you know, shows up drunk at a Super Bowl parade or a boat parade, I guess. I was reading it's newsworthy. So I was reading this article from the Boston Herald this morning, and Brady's talking about, you know, going back to New England, and the Bucs will, of course, play a game this regular season in New England. And he's going on and he's talking about all the teams that passed on him, right? Like he did on The Shop with LeBron James on HBO a couple of weeks ago. Now, he declined to tell Jim Gray exactly who these, you know, remember the line, "You're sticking with that mother bleeper?" that he said to LeBron James on The Shop. And he said he's declined to name names in this regard. Jim Gray pushed him on it. But he is talking about the idea that these teams that passed over him, remember the Tennessee Titans were rumored very much to be in the hunt for Brady until they gave Ryan Tannehill $90 million guaranteed. Quote, "They chose who they are. It's fine. Everyone has a choice to choose. I think what you realize is there's not as many smart people as you think. That's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, hey, you've got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you've got a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. Nah. No, thanks. We're good." In my mind, I'm kind of thinking, okay, let me go show those teams what they're missing. At the same time, let me go prove to that team that did bet on me that the team that really showed they really wanted me and committed to me, that I'm not going to let them down. The Tennessee Titans, who were in the Tom Brady sweepstakes, will travel to Tampa Bay in less than a month from now. August 17th, I believe, is the first joint practice between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Mike Vrabel's Tennessee Titans. I don't know how much Brady can make them pay during joint training camp practices, but you know he's thinking about it. You know he's trying to figure out why his buddy Mike passed on him. We'll continue this discussion over the course of the next couple of weeks, and make sure you check out the install with Greg Cosell today, because we'll get into the football side of Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady today before we begin our full-on Titans coverage on that podcast moving forward. But coming up next, Will Compton. Not in the league right now, but he's got some good insights on the NFL. A new podcast with Bussin' with the Boys came out today. Taylor Lewan's last before training camp. All that and more coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. All right. It's time. Look at him smiling. If you're watching us on Zone TV, it's Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys, here for his weekly segment presented by our friends at All American Pest Control, where you go for plans as low as $39. Visit yuckbugs.com. New episodes of Bussin' with the Boys every Wednesday morning via the podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, and YouTube episodes debut at 6 p.m. on their YouTube channel. Subscribe right now if you're not doing anything other than listening to us. Hey, Will.
Buck, did I hear as low as $39?
That is correct. Yuckbugs.com.
Oh, my gosh. Shout out to yuckbugs.com, dude.
All-American Pest Control. They bring us Will Compton each and every week. And his smiling, paid-for white teeth, as you see if you're watching with us on Zone TV. What?
Not even my white teeth, dude. Do you see how blue my eyes are?
Yeah, why do you, you look like one of these TikTok stars that's like a preteen TikTok star like right now. Why, why do you look the way that you do? Have you just gotten Botox? What happened?
No, dude, you saw me on my honeymoon. Like, you wanted to say I wasn't that tan that last week, but, you know, truth be told, I'm glowing right now, and it's because of the honeymoon. It's because of Bora Bora. But not only are my eyes super blue, like the ocean, but you know what else is blue?
What?
That blue check mark that you got now, dude, on
Twitter.
Oh,
look at you. Aren't you sweet? Yes. It's all that is how I will that is how I will forgive you for not wishing me a happy birthday yesterday. We can celebrate my blue check mark together.
The man love yesterday on this was show your birthday? Right now is ridiculous.
Yes, yesterday was my birthday yesterday. What the hell do you mean?
Happy, what is it? What are you, 38?
I'm 28, you jerk.
You're 28 years old, bro?
Yes, you're a hell of a lot older than me. Relax.
Yeah, but I don't look older than you, and I don't sound older than you.
It's because that Botox from Botox from Bora Bora you got.
Dude, it's got to suck knowing the only thing that is that has you younger than me is just our date of birth. Like, looks, voice, anything else, like, that's got to be tough.
Listen, just because I don't have blue eyes doesn't mean I'm prettier than you. Relax. Will Compton here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So the new pod out today, Taylor's Last Before Training Camp Begins. I listened to it on my drive into work. So I could get a full idea of what exactly, and you guys have been cranking out pods. You got a bunch ones banked. So for people who think that Taylor's time ends on the podcast after today, they are sorely mistaken because they've been grinding them out, as well as doing a bunch of bus stop at bus stop WTB is where you can follow the new venture that the boys are doing with said bus. But the thing that I think a lot of Titans fans are interested to hear today, Will, is you guys talked about Delanie Walker and what Delanie had to say. Hell yeah, what do you mean?
I knew it.
We haven't talked about actual football stuff in like 2 months at this point, all right? We got to do it at some point. But Delanie Walker, you know, saying that his potential Hall of Fame resume is impacted by the fact that he played here in Tennessee. What was your reaction to those initial comments?
I mean, you can listen to it on Bussin' with the Boys.
Oh my God.
I thought, you know, if I'm playing both sides, there's for sure validity into playing in a small market. I mean, look at somebody like Levante David, who's just now getting a lot more credibility throughout his playing days. And it's because he was in a smaller market like a Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he just hasn't had the stardom around him, or the, you know, the Buccaneers just haven't been that good of a team. You can kind of make a similar argument with Delanie, even though Delanie was getting Pro Bowls while he was on the Titans. The Titans weren't the best football team in town, especially, you know, like they're having the stardom now. There wasn't a Ryan Tannehill who kind of recreated himself when he got here, a Derrick Henry, a Julio Jones, AJ Brown. Like, you got some stardom on the team now. Delanie just didn't have that around him. And again, Nashville is a small market. It's always been seen as a tourist city. It's not one of those staple, you know, football cities of America. And when the boys go to a Super Bowl and make that Super Bowl run, you know, the comparison I made is when everybody comes out talking about shouting the Titans name from the top of the mountain, a lot of these locals that are super fans of the Titans are going to be like, oh, all the bandwagon fans are coming on board now, blah, blah, blah. They take more of that pride of being that I've been here since day one. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Oh, sure.
It's not that the fans here aren't good. There's quality fans in every city, and the fans here are insane. They're awesome. But it's just a small sample size. Like, when you're outside, like I was telling Taylor, like when it comes to Pro Bowl fan voting for like a Taylor Lewan, when you're not in this market and you're Pro Bowl voting, like, you know, if you're just thinking of quarterbacks, you're going to think of quarterbacks in this big media markets that have always been around. You're not going to think of Ryan Tannehill right away unless you're in Nashville and you know what Ryan Tannehill has done for this team. Like, if you're talking about voting in offensive linemen, you're not going to think who's the old lineman on the Tennessee Titans. You might now because Derrick Henry's toting the rock for 2K year in and year out. But you're going to think of, okay, who's on the Dallas Cowboys O-line? You know, you're going to think who's on the Green Bay Packers O-line. That's just what comes to mind when you're not somebody in that media market. So I think that's where validity comes into play for Delaney. Now, what came out of his mouth and how he said it, I see why fans took offense to that. But that's kind of my stance on the whole Delaney Walker comments.
But, I mean, you've been in a locker room with Delaney. You know that, you know the kind of person he is. My contention, because I, listen, I understand why, as you said, fans are bent out of shape about it, because they love Delaney Walker here, because he was the, him and Jarrell for a long time, Will, before you got here, and for, you know, a good decade of bad Titans football, they were the lone bright spots for a franchise that was still trying to figure things out before it started to kick into gear in the last 5 years. So I understand why those comments would wound Titans fans, but my contention, I miss Delaney so much because he was always that kind of honest when we would talk to him about things in the locker room. Bussing with the Boys, the first episode that you guys did, draft an effing tight end. Delaney was candid in his comments. So why are we not running it through that worldview where you're saying, okay, I love Delaney when he's that kind of person, but ripping him apart on the internet, and that Twitter is a terrible place for a great many reasons, but taking him down and going after him on Twitter when he does the thing that he's always done, which has been entirely forthright and tells you how he feels about things.
Yeah, I, at the end of the day, I mean, you got prideful Titans fans that are, everybody has social media now. So when you hear comments like that, if you identify with being like, you know, for the Boys and being a Titans fan, you take a little offense to that because you identify and label as being one of those Titans fans, especially if you were on his side the whole time. You take it as like a personal shot. It's like if I were to go out and say they're like, you know, the media here is not that good. Like you might think in your mind without even knowing that I might think you're good. It's, you're just going to tie into that. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like it's taking a paintbrush over something. And if you label with that color that just got painted, you're going to take a little bit of offense to that because you identify as a gung-ho Titans fan.
And
I'll answer your question just like that. First.
Okay. Thank you. Will Compton here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So your free agency, before you signed with the Titans, a little different than Delaney's. Delaney got a long-term deal. You were looking more for an opportunity with a team that had some needs, that had some holes on the roster, not knowing at the time that they would draft Rashawn Evans. When you are going through, just to run it through your worldview, the first time that you went through free agency, do you factor in market size, or is it purely about, okay, somebody wants to give me a job, here is a place where they have a need at linebacker, here is where I can potentially show what I have to offer and earn either a longer-term extension in that with that team or find an opportunity elsewhere?
I think it just all depends on your situation. Like, when you're in a situation, you're getting a second contract, which I think that's what happened with Delaney, right? He left the 49ers and came to the Titans.
Yeah.
You're ready to break the bank. You're ready to get the biggest contract out there. Then when you get to the Titans, you become a three-time Pro Bowler and you have all these seasons. Yeah, underwhelming seasons. And then you get to the end of your career and you're thinking about how many accolades you might should have gotten or that you did get and all the yards and receptions. And then you start comparing with other tight ends that have had career years that might be in the Hall of Fame. Then you start thinking differently. Like, I should have been in a bigger market. I should have done this. So hindsight's always 20/20. When I was coming out of Washington, it's always like, you know, what's the best deal you can get? Now with like busting with the Boys and everything else, you might look at being in certain markets to help with the brand, that stuff that you have going off the field. It just all depends on your situation at all times. And then as it changes over time, yeah, you can look back and think, oh, I should have been in a bit bigger market, a better market. I know playing for the Washington football team at the time when I was playing there, coaches would always break down when we played the Titans. It's like, hey, don't sleep on this tight end. Like, yeah, you know, he's not in the category with all these big name tight ends, but he's one of the best tight ends in the league. And we have to game plan around him. You might not have ever heard of him. You might not have this, you might not have that, but don't get it twisted. He's one of the best tight ends in the league. So that's how the conversations were being an opponent of the Titans. Like, hey, don't just sleep because of the Tennessee Titans. Like, they have weapons. And Delaney was one of them, but that's just how it was talked about. It's not like playing the Chiefs and you know you're going to be playing against Travis Kelce and you know how you have to break it down. The coaches would have to tell us, hey, this dude is a monster. Like, don't sleep on him.
Will Compton here with us on 104.5 The Zone. New episode of Bussin' with the Boys out now. Check it out and make sure you're following Bus Stop WTB across the social media platforms. They're producing great content right now, both on the sports side of things, even though it's not really sports. It's just sports related because they play sports. And on the music side of things, because we live in Music City and they have great artists at their disposal. I saw Jelly Roll out there getting ready to put on a show the other day that made me very happy. I love that man, despite him serving me room temperature tequila in the dugout of a celebrity softball game. That was a tough scene.
No doubt. He's always trying to get everybody on the tequila train, dude. And I learned the lesson the hard way at a comedy club one night, but he didn't get me in the dugout that day. I was like, no, Jelly, I'm not doing anything with you anymore.
Yeah, it's a lesson that you learn very, very quickly, but by then it's too late.
Yeah.
So with that being said, though, you have a lot of exciting episodes that you guys are ready to produce, that you've already produced, and that are in the tank. What is this time of year like for you guys? Because this always happens, right? You have to bank the episodes so you two aren't doing podcasts and making NFL teams, the Titans for Taylor and whichever team would be interested in the services of Will Compton heading into 2021. So they don't think that there are distractions during the time when it needs to be all football all the time, as we all know, as we're getting ready to have that just hit us in the face next week, especially with Titans training camp beginning. What kind of approach do you guys take with this so the content remains as fresh as humanly possible without necessarily being time sensitive?
Yeah, so, you know, with training camp coming up, Taylor will be doing nothing. That's why we backlog episodes. In years past, like, we had a lot more probably backlog than we do now. Last year, going through some trial and errors, like when Taylor tore his ACL, and then he was able to do more current episodes. We're gonna find ways to figure that stuff out as the year progresses. You know, I'll still be doing some episodes while Taylor's in training camp, and try to experiment a little bit with a different lane, depending on when I might get picked up. But we have some episodes in the tank. We have about 5 in the tank that we'll have to give us cushion depending on what might happen with us. Taylor might still be back on the bus in the season. I might be doing things in season. But we're just always figuring it out as we go. Like last year, we had a good year because the Titans played well. And Taylor wasn't playing football, so he was able to do it. So we'll figure it out. You know, sometimes we don't know, but you got to kind of embrace the uncertainty at this point. But we will have behind the scenes content, the under the hoods. They'll continue to roll. We'll continue pumping out, you know, up to date stuff. I just don't know, you know, what segments will be more up to date than others.
Yeah, that's a fair approach. Now, Taylor's done a few solo episodes. You think you could do what he has done with a solo podcast? You think you're capable of that?
You know, I'm capable of doing solo pods. I just don't know what the level of entertainment that Taylor provides.
Yeah.
He's got a unique ability to kind of be on the mic and be, you know, be witty, be like just on the spot, be that entertainer. Taylor's a very entertaining person. For myself, I like the more personable conversations, the more, you know, that style of everything. I think I would bring people in, whether it be on Zoom, somebody be on the bus. You might get lucky, Buck, and get an invite.
Oh, please.
This is my time. Buck, this is my time. This is what the segment's about. But me personally, Taylor likes to lean in on doing that stuff. I like having a pod and interviewing and having better conversations, engaging with fans more, answering questions, like getting more, you know, personable with that kind of stuff. I'm, you know, and then have fun along with it, but not, I won't be doing what Taylor does where you just riff and try and come up with comedy bits the whole time. He's a natural at that. That's his forte. I'll let him do that. You know, I have my own lane with it.
Oh, so now Will Compton thinks that he can just give me a pity invite to the bus. No, now I have a blue check mark. Now I come with an appearance fee, just so you know. Will Compton.
Oh, hopefully it'll be the same appearance fee that you give me for coming on this radio show when we know I'm underpaid over here.
No, wildly underpaid. This is so. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So I'm watching yesterday the coverage of the Buccaneers at the White House. And I'm watching Tom Brady, who looks younger than the both of us, despite being both of our parents' age. Shout out Botox and avocado ice cream. And he's talking about playing until he's 46. You have Aaron Rodgers, who seems to be in open rebellion from the team that he wants or that he is currently under contract for, turning down a 2-year contract extension to be the highest paid player in football. When you guys are looking around the league at your peers, and maybe Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers don't necessarily feel like peers, but they are. What are the conversations?
No, I'm equal to Tom Brady. I think I need to be in that argument as well. Will Compton, he's 31.
You're the Tom Brady of podcasting linebackers, that's for certain. But like what are the conversations like among NFL players when you're looking at stories like these and thinking, what the hell is happening in Green Bay and Tampa Bay?
Probably the same as everybody else. I mean, with a little more detachment of the sports world, like thinking that all you got to do is play sports all the time. I think I enjoy hearing when Aaron does speak, I enjoy hearing what he has to say, because he talks about, you know, people have said, I haven't really spoken up, but, you know, I think there's a lot of wisdom in silence. Like, I just think he's in a mental space that nobody can really wrap their brain around because they're not in that mental space. And I enjoy hearing that perspective from him because, you know, being a football player and playing for a while and identifying as a football player, you just enjoy seeing people have that kind of leverage, and not only have that leverage and have it from an egotistical standpoint, but hearing what's going on with him mentally that kind of puts him in that position. And I think everybody would love to be in a position of Aaron Rodgers, turn down something like that, because you're so just at peace with whatever's going on in your life, whatever he's doing, dude, it seems to be working. And then seeing the fun that Tom Brady has now, at his age, I mean, he is the GOAT. So he can kind of do whatever he wants. He can play into whatever joke he wants to play in. He can make those comments at the White House, and they are hilarious. Like, yeah, the content that his team makes for him, just seeing him live life the way he does now, and seeing him pretty much play with house money. That's what he's doing. He's playing. He gets to play the game of football like he did growing up. And we all want to be in a position like that. So I think anytime that those guys speak and they're doing something, you're just in tune to what they're doing, because we all wish we could be in a place like that.
Indeed. Do you think there's any resentment, though? And I'm not speaking for you personally, but like when you see a star like Aaron Rodgers have the ability, with the leverage that you're talking about, be able to turn down a contract to make him the highest paid at his position, is there any resentment from an NFL player who's trying to make a roster, who may be on the bubble, who is fighting for whether it be a practice squad spot or a spot on the 53-man, now that we're getting closer to that time of year? Do you think that breeds any kind of resentment among his teammates or players who would look at that and say, well, what the hell is his problem? I'll take his money.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, that's gonna happen. Again, everything is situational. You got guys in different parts of their career, and when you're a young guy and ball is life and all you want to do is eat, sleep, breathe football, and you see guys turning down deals like that or guys signing for big money, like, everyone's always looking at everybody else's pockets or decisions that they're making. But when you're a younger guy and, again, identifying with being a football player, and you see that happen, like, yeah, it creates a little salt in the old wound, because you wish you could be in that situation. Ultimately, that's what you're wishing. It might come off differently, or you might try and explain it differently, but when you get to the core of it, Buck, you know I like talking about all this mental psychology stuff, but when you get to the core of it, you're just mad you're not in that spot, and it's just, you label so much with being a football player. I think, yeah, it depends on where you're at in your career, man. It really does. Like, I understand those young guys that might see it, or anybody that sees it and has a little bit of resentment towards it, because you think he's pissing away. Can I say the P word?
You can say pissing. Yes, you're fine.
You think he's peeing away an opportunity that you ultimately would, you know, die for.
Yeah.
That you would do whatever for. And so you might think that he's taking it for granted. If you're farther along in your career, I don't think you have as much resentment, because, I mean, you ultimately like seeing a guy have leverage like that against the league or against the team. Because it always tries getting painted to be against the athlete one way or the other. Whereas the majority of the time, everyone wants to be mad at the owners, but owners get to stay quiet and a media does their work, and it always seems to be on the players. So you enjoy seeing the players have leverage in these situations.
Yes, as a media vulture myself, I take great pity on the athletes and their plight. Will Compton of
right, but you know, you can't, you if you could have the inside scoop with all coaches and owners and stuff like that in front office, I'm sure you would talk about that a little more, but it's usually the player, because we talk the most. We're out there more than these, you know, than these people above us, and you're able to talk more about it because we're the ones performing.
Well, and to that end, though, it's a difficult position for players to be in, because they're told to be silent. They're told to not, you know, not give away too much, and I understand the PR car wash that you go through before you're placed on a Zoom call with us, or before, you know, what we enter the locker room under normal circumstances, and then more often than not, the leaks come from the organization at the expense of the players. So, and we're not talking about the Titans in a certain context. I'm just talking about the experience of covering the NFL. Will, I got to get out of here. I'm way over time. It's always good to catch up with you. I will consider your invitation now that I have my blue check mark. We will be in discussions. Bussin' with the Boys, new episodes every Wednesday morning. YouTube debuts tonight at 6 p.m. on their YouTube channel. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your get the boys. Take care, buddy.
Buck, thank you, brother, and happy birthday.
Late. Paul's, oh, man. Paul's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Of Titans less coverage before we get full go into training camp, and then nobody gets any breaks until, you know, basically next summer.
So yeah, February, right? Like it's good to go from next week until February. Oh,
February, my ass, buddy. I have free agency. I have the NFL draft. I have until so I go from July until June as an NFL reporter. So.
You miss Super Bowl parade, my friend.
What Super Bowl parade?
Look. Oh.
But what? For here? For the Titans?
Somebody. Somebody.
I was about to say, relax.
Somebody.
Yeah, you got okay. Let me see what happens with Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and all of these other, you know, teams that will stand in the way of a Tennessee Titans Super Bowl.
It'll take Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey all going down for the like half the season.
And then maybe it'll be a situation like Giannis and they'll win a title because nobody else is playing bad. No, I don't know. We will see. We will see, but everybody relax. Super Bowl. We will get into more detail with this later in the install, the second episode with Greg Cosell of NFL Films and myself. You can catch that in your podcast feed later this afternoon. Subscribe, rate, and review so you don't miss out on anything before we go full bore in Titans coverage. In the meantime, Joe, pick a poll update.
Not now, Jenny. I'm on the radio. Buck Rising gave me a job, said something about a poll update. Hope that wasn't at that club where you became a folk singer. Anyway, Buck Rising's producer and correspondent has the final poll update. I'm not a smart man, but I know who Lucas Panzeca is.
Well, apparently you don't, Forrest. This is Joe Hunk today.
That's right. Thanks, Forrest. I appreciate that. Now, four polls. Am I wrong? Am I right about that? I've got four pulled up that you have put out throughout the day.
That sounds about right.
Okay. I'm just making sure because I've got to go. The first poll question is, a small market team will team like the Bucks winning an NBA title, was it a fluke? 62% said no.
I think it's interesting from the standpoint NBA – You struggle with small market teams. Myself, being a Pacers fan, I've experienced this many times over. Grizzlies fans can relate. Superstars don't want to play in Indianapolis or in Milwaukee or in Memphis. They want to play in Los Angeles and New York. They want to play for super teams in Golden State and in Cleveland. When LeBron James was there, not Cleveland under normal circumstances.
No, Cleveland any circumstances, I'll sell LeBron.
Well, you know. It is what it is. But I don't want to diminish what Giannis did because he was spectacular on a busted knee. And I'm sure we'll find out more about the severity, the extent of the injury that Giannis suffered during the Eastern Conference Finals that made it almost implausible to perform the way that he did, putting up 50 last night en route to winning the Bucks' first championship in 50 years. But it is difficult to find a small market team that is able to win in today's NBA environment. So I would have to disagree with 62% of the audience and say it is a bit of a fluke.
There was also 27% that said, I don't watch the NBA. So,
well, 27% of you are dumb. Watch basketball.
Seriously, it's enough. Really good. Jesus. These NBA playoffs were amazing. Question number two, who plays for more years in the NFL? Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Tom Brady won with 78% of the vote.
I think that I mean, listen, everybody is to the point in their lives is that, you know, Tom Brady, you never bet against him. So if Brady says he's going to play till 46, he's probably going to outplay Aaron Rodgers. God knows if Aaron Rodgers is even going to play this year. I don't think the Packers are going to trade him. I think he's just going to flat out sit until they do something about it. And, you know, they would have no choice but to trade him at that point, because it sounds like they were ready to punt on Jordan Love by offering him a contract extension after he won the MVP of the NFL last year. So you don't bet against Brady until you physically see it with your own eyes. And even on a partially torn MCL last year, Super Bowl champion, more passing yards than Ryan Tannehill.
Next question, who is the greatest threat to Alabama in the SEC this year? Your options were Georgia, Florida, LSU, and COVID. And COVID won with 50% of the vote.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Sankey's comments at SEC Media Days, the opening of SEC Media Days, was if you get sick, you don't play that Saturday. They're not rescheduling games. It's a forfeit type situation. So if you talk about threats to Alabama right now, it's not necessarily Georgia. It's not necessarily Dan Mullen and his Darth Vader mask. Ed Orgeron is just in there because LSU gets high-level recruits. And if you put the competent enough coordinators around Orgeron, turns out you can win a championship. But COVID, I think, remains the greatest threat to Alabama because the rest of the teams in the SEC, it's just they're not sniffing them.
And the final question, which Nashville pro athlete do you consider a legitimate superstar? Your options were Roman Yossi, Julio Jones, Philip Forsberg, or Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry ran away with this with 83% of the vote.
I mean, the correct answer is Julio Jones. But if you want to talk about bona fide superstars, homegrown superstars, then Derrick Henry is your answer. I do not think the disrespect towards the Preds players are warranted. Roman Yossi, least of which, given the fact that he just won a Norris Trophy and is the captain of a team that went to a Stanley Cup final not so long ago.
By the way, it was not just disrespect. Both Preds players only received 1% of the vote.
I mean, NFL versus NHL.
True.
Them's the breaks. Blaine and Mickey will continue your entertainment through the rest of the afternoon before 3HL takes over. Thanks to Schaefer and Joe Hunk. We'll talk to you tomorrow.